Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here at Calvary Christian this morning. It's always a delight to see our members, also guests, visitors, and those who just attend regularly with us. Maybe haven't made that commitment yet to the body here, but again, we just appreciate you being with us as we follow Jesus and try to pursue the lives and the dreams that he has for us. Thus far in this series in September, we have considered how the Lord can restore souls and reconcile people who have been estranged, and even restore his children to prosperity. And by that, I'm not talking about the kind of just health and wealth that the material world looks at, but rather the true prosperity that comes out of a relationship with the Good Shepherd, when he just bestows upon us all the good things that we need in life and that he wants for us to have in life. That all of that depends on whether or not we will surrender ourselves to his will and his leading. We've seen that throughout our theme text in Psalm 23. You may want to recite it with me. Again, this is the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said last week, no matter how far gone we may think someone or something is, our Lord specializes in renewal and reconciliation and restoration. The question is whether or not we really, truly believe that. How many of you believe that this morning? I see some heads nodding. Do you truly believe that? Well, if we believe it, it'll make a difference in our whole perspective in life, and particularly about things that we see as damaged or in ruins. About what do we do with those things? What do we do about those things? What's our perspective about those things? I want to focus today on the words of the prophet Haggai. But first, we need some backstory, perhaps. The children of God had lost everything of value to them. Now, I want to stress that was of value to them. And they had been focusing on worldly, physical, material things for the most part. And they'd lost all of that. Initially, there was no one to blame but themselves because, well, they had denied what was really important, what should have been valuable to them. They were unfaithful to their Creator, and they really denied the relationship that they should have had with Him. They ignored His instruction. They turned to other gods, which really weren't any gods at all, but things that they put trust in rather than in their Maker. And because of that, their homes had been destroyed and their lands had been confiscated. Their ability to maintain gainful employment for provision for themselves and for their families and to share with others, well, that had been taken away entirely as they were taken away into captivity and subjected to slavery. So now they were working very hard, toiling very hard, but it wasn't for their own profit, their own gain, their own benefit, but for the benefit of someone else. After many decades passed in that situation, by God's grace, they were granted the opportunity to return to their homeland and begin all over, which they did. But they made the mistake, after just a very little while, of putting their wants once more before the Lord's desires. You'd think they would have known better than that. That's what got them into trouble in the first place, but they made the same mistake. They repeated that same mistake. They focused on their comfort rather than the Lord's commands. And it wasn't going well for them. Even though they were returned to their homeland, things were not going well back home. In fact, in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, the Lord Almighty, and I want to stress that, the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, it's going as quickly as you're bringing it in. You're not able to really gain anything from your work. It's just, well, you're living from hand to mouth. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes you're always in need, in want. Remember what we read in the Psalms? If the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. But they were in want. They were. They started from scratch, trying to scratch out a living, but they were scratching their own backs. And they found that rebuilding their lives was particularly hard and not rewarding. Can anybody identify with that? You know, you just work real hard trying to accomplish something, but you don't seem to be getting anywhere. You try to save, but boy, you just can't even make ends meet. You ever find that that's the case with your own life at times? It just seems like you can't get ahead. You can't even keep from going backward. It seemed that way for them. See, they had so little to work with, and their efforts fell short, futile. So they became discouraged. You can identify with that, right? That they would become discouraged. Many of them even felt like giving up on even trying. Well, that's when the prophet Haggai was sent to them with this word from the Lord Almighty. Again, stress the Lord Almighty. Because in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I'm with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I commanded with you and covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver's mine, the gold's mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. From that expression, the last expression, that's a repeated expression, I get the impression that Haggai wanted to make sure they understood that these were not his words. It says 8 times, this is a declaration from the Lord, and stressing it's the Lord Almighty. It occurs to me that they needed to know that the Lord was Almighty. It was the Lord Almighty saying this, that he had the might, the power, the ability to do what he said he would do. He had the ability to fulfill his promises for them. He had the ability to do that. Why? He's the Lord Almighty. Almighty. It occurs to me that some of us, too, might need that same kind of reassurance. That the Lord Almighty has a plan and a purpose for us. That the Lord Almighty has a future for us. That the Lord Almighty wants to bless and prosper his people. And he is able, see, he's the Lord Almighty, to do that. By nature, I'm afraid we tend to be nostalgic. We think of how things used to be and wish they could be again. And so often it's the way they were. We want them to be the way they were. Sometimes, though, if we really give it serious and honest thought, we'll recall that not everything was always so good in those good old days. That there were difficulties and hardships and problems there, too. But when things are tough, we tend to think back about the way things were rather than forward about how things could be. I mean, I so often, again, talk to people who they're going through difficult times, hardships, horrible times, but what they want is things restored the way they were. They want things to be the way they were. But so often, things wouldn't be the way they are if it wasn't for the way things were. There wasn't a good foundation. There wasn't the right direction there. There wasn't the relationship with God wasn't what it should be. So often, that is the case, that we are where we are now because of the way we were. Don't want to just go back to that. Sometimes the reason things are in ruins are because of, well, we didn't take the time to build on the right foundation and to follow the direction of the Lord Almighty. That was the case for them. Sometimes that can be the case for us. In context, the Lord kept calling their attention to the temple ruins. Now, the temple had been destroyed by marauders who had taken them away into captivity. The temple had been glorious, but now it was destroyed. It was in ruins. When they came back, they started some work on trying to fix it. They started work on the foundation. They laid a few stones together. But they didn't do very much of that at all until they started, you know, neglecting that and concentrating once again on just, well, making themselves comfortable. Now, the young folks, their children and grandchildren, had no recollection of what that temple used to be like. None. Of course they didn't. Their parents and grandparents did, but young folks didn't. They'd never seen it. They'd heard the stories of how beautiful it was and how it had been and how wonderful it also it was to gather there to experience the presence of the God of heaven. But again, those were not their memories. It was their parents' memories or their grandparents' memories, not theirs. So pointing to the temple and saying, anybody here left can remember what it used to look like? There were a few. See, not all. But the few that remembered the former glory were really the problem. They were really the problem because they were the leaders. They were, yeah, it was in ruins. It once had been glorious, wasn't now. And they had it in their minds that, well, there's no way that we could ever, ever restore it to the way it was before. No way we could ever do that. You know, it can be that way in churches today. So many long for the way the church was in the 1950s, which wasn't much different from the 1850s, though it bore very little resemblance to the church of the 50s, and I'm talking about the first century. And so often we don't get that. We don't realize that. Because of our remembrance of what church was like, of what church used to be like. And so many of us want it to be like it used to be. And that's not all bad, unless what we're talking about or thinking about is merely externals. Programs, traditions, structures, systems. And thinking, it's got to be like that before. Well, that's what we're thinking about. That's what we're concentrating on. And so many of those things weren't even present in the first century. What made the church glorious in the first century wasn't any of that stuff. It was the relationship people had with God through Jesus Christ. And how much they valued and appreciated that and made that priority in their lives. So even if our precious memories linger, we shouldn't be surprised if the vision in our hearts and minds doesn't resonate with our children and grandchildren when they read the scriptures, and when they get fired up about a connection with the Lord. It's not with all these external physical things that we think about. Having said that, back to our text. Verse 9 tells us that the Lord, remember he's still speaking, he said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Now remember, this is the Lord Almighty speaking. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. The Lord was telling them, don't be dwelling on the past. Get that vision of the former glory out of your mind. You're focusing on the wrong things. You're thinking about the wrong things. He had something better in mind for them. And he says the future glory would be better than the former. Now, they would have a hard time believing that. How could they hope for things to be even restored to their former glory? And remember what they would have thought about glory being physical, let alone to something being even more glorious. How could they possibly imagine that taking place? Well, only with the Lord's help. Now, I want you to notice, too, that he told them, and again, who is this? The Lord Almighty, in verses 4 to 5, to get to work, in essence. You know, get to work, get back to work. He immediately followed the command with this assurance, for I am with you, and my spirit is among you. You hear that? He's saying, get back to work. You know, you've been neglecting again my work. You've been neglecting my house. And by that, you know, yes, the physical temple was a symbol of that. But it was really about making your relationship with me priority. Get back to work on that. Building that foundation. And I'm with you. I'm here. My spirit is among you. Question for you. How many of you today believe that the Lord is with us? How many of you believe that? And His Holy Spirit is still among us and will continue to be with us and among us no matter who else might come or go. If we believe that, and again, I'm recognizing you're saying yes, you believe that. You believe that. Then, if that's true, if you really do believe that, then it's time to trust Him. Trust Him to bless the work of our hands as we return to the focus of what our attention should be, building His kingdom here. We sang about that a little earlier. Build your kingdom here. And then the song says, we pray. Yeah, so we should be praying. Yeah, Lord, build your kingdom here. Where do we begin that? Well, it comes back to what this whole series has been pointing to time and again. Seeking the Good Shepherd's leading and following that leading. Making His house, and again, I'm not talking about a building, I'm not talking about a structure, I'm not talking about programs, but His house, His priorities, His desires, His agenda, our desires and agenda, His will, our will. Picking up now in verse 15, and keep in mind, who is speaking? The Lord Almighty. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was even laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only two. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I, this is the Lord Almighty, I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you didn't turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, From this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to this day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I'll bless you. I will bless you. What's the Lord Almighty saying? He's saying, look, now that you are returning to me, now that you're beginning again to get back on track, now that again you're tracking with me, I'm going to bless you. Before you found again that things just weren't working out, things were falling short, that no matter how hard you worked, you just weren't producing. How many of you felt like that even? Come on, let's be honest. Here at Calvary Christian, that sometimes, you know, we've worked real hard, real diligently, expecting to see some fruit from that work, you know, and it hasn't surfaced. Now, we could get discouraged and quit, but I'm saying let's get on track and keep on track. Get on track and keep on track. Keep tracking. Lord, keep seeking him, keep following him, and doing what he says, making always his will a reality. And if we do, what's he saying? He said to them, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you more than you ever were blessed before. How many believe that God could do something so incredible in your life, in your family, in your church, even more glorious than you ever even thought could be the case? Maybe sometimes you look at other families, other people, other churches, and think, well, look what God's doing there. Boy, it's a shame he's not doing that, you know, here. In my life, in my family, in my church. Well, can he? He's Lord Almighty. What's the difference between there and here? Again, I told you I had this revelation a long time ago, visiting a very large church. I thought, the same Lord and the same Spirit is with us and dwells in me, then dwells in anyone there. The same Spirit. We have giftings. We have his presence. We have his purpose. Why aren't we flourishing? Maybe. In some respects, it's about surrender and focus. Maybe. It occurred to me that as I was reading this text, you know, when it talks about that this was going to start on the 24th day of the ninth month. Well, today is the 22nd day of the ninth month. And I know that the Hebrew calendar and the Roman calendar we use, they're not the same. They're not the same. But boy, it just struck me. You know, could it be that we are on the threshold of God doing something truly amazing? About him beginning to bless us in ways that we've longed for, but it just hasn't happened yet? Could it be? Could it be as we turn our attention and our focus to where it should be, that from this day forward, he's saying, I'm going to bless you. We might have difficulty believing that. But if we put him and his kingdom first in all we do, he seems to be saying, be prepared for glory. Be prepared for glory. That means we got to anticipate it, expect it, and keep on keeping on with what we begin for the Lord. I trust him to bring it to completion. The glory of the Lord can be revealed beginning now and into the future, far more glorious than you could ask or imagine. Amen? Amen.